from America's frontier, Nebraska. It's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. If you're a fisherman, I've got a treat for you this morning. I've got a gentleman that is known very widely in the fishing circles, Bro Brosdell. How are you doing this morning, Bro?
Well, good morning, Rick. How are you?
Doing pretty fair. How is the land of northern Minnesota?
It's pretty quiet right now.
Do you have ice out yet?
We don't have ice out. There's still ice here, and the southern part of the state is in a totally different climate, and their ice is out, but we actually have people fishing, and I can't name bodies of water because I don't want no one to go through, but there are some people still taking machines because of a little cool down.
Yeah.
On some bodies of water, and not every lake is a little bit different due to the amount of slush we had this year, and but there's still ice, and it's, when we get our next warm-up, I think it's going to take it out.
Well, good. Then you'll be ready for the softwater fishing.
Absolutely.
I'm
ready.
I was going to tell people, most people may know you. You kind of burst onto the scene here a couple years, particularly with ice fishing. But you also do a lot of open water fishing, too, and good at that as well.
Well, I guide primarily throughout the summer and parts of the winter, you know, and I do seminars and stuff, but the winter guiding isn't as much as the summer. Summer, I'm out almost every day and primarily chasing walleyes and guide on area lakes like Cass Lake, Lake Winnebagoche, and if it's a windy day, smaller lakes that are 3,000 acres or less, someplace you can hide from the wind that has good fishing.
Right. Well, walleye is big here. That's probably most of the anglers here go for walleye first, largemouth bass second. So let's talk a little bit about that. When you know we're ice out, but still real cold water, and we just had two little mini blizzards blow through in the last week, which of course cools down the surface water real well. When you go out and you're searching for fish, let's talk about walleye first. What do you look for to kind of narrow down your chances of being productive?
Well, definitely in cold water, I just have to check to see if they've spawned or not. And a lot of times you can find them heading into the spawning bays and spawning areas. If you're on a large reservoir or river, there's going to be some back bays that they're going to go into spawn, and you got to know where they're at in the spawn. And usually bait shops will know where they're at because they get a lot of people coming through. But water temperature is very important. In a lot of areas, they will be done spawning by 50 degrees. So then you'll be looking for them at the mouths of the bays. And walleyes will seek out gravel in the shorelines, where there's hard bottom and gravel, and they'll spawn, and then you got to follow them through that spawn. And they'll eat before the spawn, they'll eat after the spawn, but they get real finicky a little bit after the spawn for about a week. But the males, they're never finicky, and they provide most of the eater supply of fish. They're usually the smaller, you know, 1 to 2 pounders. And sometimes males can get big. On Leech Lake, I've caught them up to 27 inches. But for the most part, They love to feed on minnows that time of year, but if you have a night crawler, you can pitch night crawlers, and primarily you're going to be looking at the mouths, the exits areas after the spawn, a little bit of gravel points, and pitching jigs with a crawler up there, like a fireball jig or a long shank fireball jig with a crawler stuck on it is really good. Some bodies of water prefer minnows, so having minnows, and then depending on the lake, some lakes really are good plastics fisheries, so you can get a little paddle tail plastic bait on there, and they'll hit it just out of, you know, clear water, and if they could see it. A lot of lakes, they all have their different personalities, and some lakes you can get away with just using plastics.
Right. We also have a very productive canal system running through here, about 80 miles of canal, real close to home here. And there are places in the canal where there's like control gates and checks where the water narrows down, flows through, but then you have back eddies on the downstream side and stuff like that. Would you fish walleye the same way? They're great walleye and sauger fisheries, so a lot of people
absolutely.
Try that.
And then, you know, if you got deeper water, you know, just graph the area and make sure you look at it closely, because I found sauger, they'll come up on the gravel and spawn and then dump down to deeper water, and they could be in those neck down areas where the current speeds up. Sauger will be hanging in that front along with walleyes. Walleyes will tend to be a little shallower than the sauger, and blade baits in a vertical presentation work just slide with the current and rip blade baits, or jig. And what I mean slide with the current, if the current's going at 2 miles an hour and you're following it, I like to point my trolling motor downstream and go just a tenth or two-tenths over the speed of the current, and then jig, so that you're actually going a little bit faster than the current, so the fish know that this is something that's not blowing by at the same speed. And a regular jig, and then touch the bottom, but get it away so you don't get snagged. It can be really good. And I like fireballs because the short shank don't get hung up on the riprap.
Now, when you mentioned sauger the first time, you said they are, you typically look for them ahead of the restriction and or below?
Yeah, I'll look. They'll be on both sides, but sauger, before they spawn, will be right up in the boat harbors. They'll be right up in slack water in those eddies.
Okay.
And you could pitch bright-colored plastics to get them, and even tip the plastics, and they could be super aggressive. And so I found sauger, big sauger, in a lot of rivers and waterways, and I've done tournaments all over the place. And you'd be surprised. It's like fishing largemouth, but you're fishing sauger. You're pitching paddle tails up in 4 or 5 feet of water, and that could be really good right away in the morning, and then hit riprap. So you're pitching riprap, and you can throw plugs, crankbaits, and just slow roll them back. And then some of the faster current areas, troll lead core, and just bounce, really have that crankbait digging off the bottom, just pounding the bottom. Saugers are a little more aggressive, and they'll hammer stuff before and after their spawn. And if they dump down deep, look to the holes close to these areas where there's gravel and back bays, and they'll love sauger because they provide a lot of entertainment. You know, they're a little bit sturdier when it comes to cold fronts and stuff like that, and you know, real bright colored tails, like on the mimic minnows, a pink and white or fire tiger, crazy stuff like that. Even buck hair jigs. And but if it gets to be tough, just a good old fireball with a fathead minnow, a dace minnow on there, and just kind of tap the bottom and slide with the current. And you could also anchor. If the current isn't too fast, you can get away anchoring. If you got real fast current, it doesn't matter how heavy a jig you put down, it's going to roll away, so you have to slide those areas.
Right.
If you can find a spot, you can anchor with your Minn Kota, hit spot lock, and just hold there and pitch around.
I'm going to have to change my tactics on the canal. You've given me a couple good ideas to go play with.
it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, I didn't mention three ways. You know, in two mile an hour current and stuff, a three way sinker, a setup with a floating jig head, and you know, pink and chartreuse and all these odd colors, like a gumball jig head with a chunk of crawler. Sometimes when they're really, really tough, a three way setup with the sinker on a piece of line that's 8 inches to 12 inches, to a swivel, a three way swivel, and then put out 2 foot of line to the floating jig head. There's times when just slow dragging or letting that pitch it out and just let it sit and slowly moving it will get those saugers and even the walleyes to bite. But just remember, walleyes are a little bit they're a lot more finicky than the sauger, and sometimes they'll hang tight to that riprap or any little bit of structure near those areas, and find a current seam and a little bit of structure, and the walleyes will be laying right on top of it.
Very good. Let's switch over to crappie. How do you look for crappie early in the year?
I love crappie. I love eating them, and I love chasing them. They're cool little fish. They love warm water, and they're a fish that's looking for forage. So a lot of your bays will warm up faster than the main bodies of water. And so look for muddy bays in the northwest where the sun can hit it. And all you need is an area that's a few degrees warmer. Look for minnows. If there's a lot of minnows pinging the surface or swimming around in there, that's a good sign. And then I'll pitch a tube jigs or thumper heads with a little twister tail. And all you need to do is get one active fish. Then you know they're there. And or you could use your hummingbird in side image. If you scan it, then put out side imaging not too far, kind of like maybe 50, 60 feet away. You can see little circles on there. And that's technology is really changing things. But outside of that, sometimes if they're holding close to brush, you have to just dip it down in there. So what I'll do is I'll spot lock and get a longer rod and just drop it vertical right in the brush. They'll be hanging right in it. A lot of times when they're aggressive, they'll come out of it. So if you got a brushy area on a reservoir, canal, or even on a lake, it's a magnet, because vegetation isn't going to be growing right away in that cold water.
Right.
And they're creatures of edges. And any fish that likes an edge is going to love brush. So that if you find any brush, and you found the magnet that's going to hold your crappies in little tough tubes with a small minnow or a waxy, and just kind of drop it in there in just slow movements. A slip cork on there works really well. Just find the depth and set it up and drop them down. And crappie fishing can be very rewarding. They're fine-eating fish, and it's just a lot of fun to catch.
You mentioned a slip cork or slip bobber. I love fishing that way. In the waters we have around here, you know, I can cast out, and if I need 8-10 feet below the bobber, then fine, it'll work. It's a great technique.
Yeah. It really is, and it keeps it right in their face, you know, because crappies can be super finicky at times, and a little swimming minnow in front of them, is they can't resist after a while. They'll look at it, and then they finally take it. Light line is kind of important also. You don't need your heavy walleye line, your braids, your monos, your fluorocarbons. You want a lighter test, maybe 4-pound test. 3-pound test is nice, and you probably get more bites. But if you're fishing near brush, you're going to lose a lot of lures. And
right.
four to five-pound test, you can kind of pop it out of the tips of the branches. And if you're not finding any brush, crappies do hold a riprap. So find a little bay or a little place where there's a heavy current seam, and work that riprap around there, and just pitch a cork and let it sit there. Where walleyes, we would throw up there and just bounce it down the riprap and make a lot of noise. Crappies will come up, they'll rise up and grab it, especially in that slack water. It could be game on. Once they start going, that bobber isn't going to sit there long. You'll pitch it out, and it'll take it down. But remember, crappies feed up, so don't be afraid to get away from the bottom, even a foot or two, 3 feet, or halfway down.
I've mentioned that a lot in columns and stuff that I write about. Look at the way a crappie is built. They're designed to look up, so they feed up. You have to have that.
Absolutely.
Have to have that lure, that bait. Where they can see it. So, you know, if they're at 10 feet, you want to be at 9.
Absolutely.
I know you're a big fan and very good at jigging. So when it comes to, like, walleye and crappie specifically, how important is it to get into a jigging cadence?
It's really important. There's... Obviously, being a guide, I'll be teaching people how to jig for walleyes and teaching some guys that are really good. And you get a walleye to hit right away, and they're like, how come they're hitting your line? I got the same color jig, same minnow. And I'll tell them, you're over jigging or you're under jigging. Or a lot of times I'll have people that won't jig at all. They just reel it in. And you watch a walleye, sometimes in clear water, follow it. And that minnow's kind of flipping on that jig and flashing. And this cadence kind of mesmerizes them. I watch them come in. And then as you're jigging it, every now and then let it hit the bottom. And they'll come up to it and they'll just pound it off the bottom. And other times they'll hit it, if they're really active, they'll hit it as you're jigging it and getting close to the bottom. But a lot of times a hop and let it crash on the bottom is good. And other times you can't do that because you'll be snagged all the time. So you hop it, you hit the bottom, you lift up real quick, and then just every now and then let it hit so you know where you're at. And they'll just hammer it when it hits the bottom. The same with crappies. Crappies don't need aggressive jigging. You just want to just kind of little nervous hops and get that tube jig to fall in there real slow. But don't let it hit the bottom. Sometimes crappies will go down for it, but most of the time they'll rise up. Or walleyes, they'll go to the bottom and just pound it. And they'll eat a mouthful of sand to get that jig. And crappies are a little finickier. They want that thing just kind of twitching by them, because if you notice what crappies eat, when you open them up as you're cleaning them, they're eating a lot of insects. And insects don't swim in a straight line. They twitch and dart,
right,
and shrimp and all that stuff. They're erratic movements.
We're going to have to take a commercial break, bro, but I hope you can stay with us a little bit. I got a few more questions. Stay with us, folk. We'll be right back after these messages.
Well, Americans have started getting checks from the $2 trillion stimulus program passed by Congress, signed into law by President Trump. Taxpayers with Social Security numbers in specific income brackets are getting $1,200 per adult and $500 for each crumb cruncher in the household. Now, a bunch of Democrats are not happy with this. They're demanding checks for illegal immigrants. California Democrat Congressman Lou Correa says that he was appalled to find out that hardworking, taxpaying immigrants will not be getting the money. The congressman says that while many of us are sitting at home, these immigrants are working in the hospitals and in the fields. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez complains the stimulus checks are cut on the backs of tax-paying immigrants who will get nothing. Now, it's true that some illegal immigrants do pay federal taxes because they've acquired a federal tax ID number, but the vast majority of illegal immigrants do not pay taxes, have never paid taxes, and won't ever pay taxes since they're living in the shadows. They're sending the money back to Mexico. In California, the Democrat governor, the Democrat assembly are working on legislation that'll provide handouts to illegal immigrants. Now, this might pass muster in some far-left states, but I guarantee you, giving illegal immigrants a stimulus check is not going to fly with citizens in this country, many of whom may never see theirs.
The coronavirus is wreaking havoc here in the United States and across the globe. The stock market is plummeting. Sports leagues are suspending their seasons. Schools are sending students home, and the entire U.S. economy has been destabilized. Many experts say this is just the beginning. This is a devastating risk if you're heavy in stocks with no safeguard. Wise investors know to hedge against stock market collapse by utilizing physical precious metals. Noble Gold is a leader in this conservative financial strategy, offering extensive education, patient counsel, and expert guidance by phone. We've helped many first-time investors move their IRAs into gold using our easy three-step process. There is no time to waste. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free gold investment guide. NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
If you're thinking about retirement and have questions, then tune in to Make Retirement Work each Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Hi, I'm Mark Workmeister, the Certified Financial Planner with PFA. I'll walk you through all of those unanswered retirement questions, like when to take your Social Security, how to take money out of your retirement accounts, what's happening with the markets, and more. Make Retirement Work, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 on KODY 1240 AM 106.1 FM.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Bro Brosdell, professional fisherman and all-around good guy. How you like that for an introduction, bud?
Well, that's really nice. Thank you.
So we were talking a little bit about the crappie and stuff and jigging. And when you said just give it a little hop, in relation to your rod tip, are you talking, what, 1-2 inches maybe at max?
Yeah, at the max, and then that'll give it a little twitch and make the crappies interested, and it looks like something alive and not something just floating through the water column. And but they'll follow it, and they'll suck it in when they're ready to do it. But if they're not taking it, then you have to put it underneath the bobber and kind of let it sit with. You still got to move it. Put it under a bobber every now and then. All I'll do is. The jigging motion is take the rod and tip the bobber down. So when you tip the bobber down, that's enough of a movement because that jig's just going to lift up a little bit.
Right.
And if you got a minnow on there or a waxy, that's going to get them to notice it. And as they come up closer, it doesn't have to move all the time if they're not really active. You just want to move it just to get them interested, and they come for a close inspection. And then when they smell that bait or see the bait, they're going to eat it.
Like you said earlier, you know, I love crappie. They're fun to catch, great to eat. but it's a little science to go find them sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it is. And one thing you can remember, too, with crappies, if you're struggling to find crappies, you're in the wrong areas. They're a fish that likes soft-bottom areas, so mud versus hard-bottom. And they like hard-bottom when they're spawning because that's where they make their nest.
Right.
But all the other times, they're going to be in areas where there's mud because they feed predominantly on insects. And white crappies are different than black crappies. White crappies have finer gill rakers, so they have to feed on minnows or larger insects. Or black crappies, their gill rakers are so fine and together that they can sift out what I would call microscopic stuff out of the water column. They can sift out zooplankton and other stuff. So they can be finicky, but a lot of that stuff exists where there's mud. So look to muddy, warming areas, and then any kind of new weed growth that's coming up is really going to help. They're not going to be in bulrushes yet. They're going to be more in areas where there's vegetation, wild rice, brush, rocks, and anything like that. Bridge decks, they'll hang around the supports. And it's another structure, and they love docks because docks provide shade and the boats and stuff like that. So anything like that will hold fish, and they don't like swimming that much. They like calm water, so find an area that doesn't have current, and you'll be in the crappies.
The canals I mentioned earlier, there's some places where they go through some cuts, and they're deep cuts. You might be looking at 80 to 100 feet from the water to the what used to be the level of land above it. And every now and then a tree will fall off in that. And if I see a new spot like that, that's one of the first places I go searching because I figure there's going to be crappie hanging around all that structure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right away, they'll be up in there. And I've actually, it can be hard, sometimes difficult to fish, but those fish might not be on the outside of the tree. They're right in the branches and so there's a maneuvering strategy to this. You got to kind of bring your bait right up in between the branches and drop it down. And when you get the fish, you got to set the hook in a sweep and kind of pull them away.
You got to have good electronics to see the limbs like that.
Oh, yeah.
What are you using for yours?
I got a Helix 12, a Hummingbird Helix 12, and I've been using it now for that Helix line for about 5 years, and they're so detailed. In down imaging, you can see the individual branches, and then you'll see little circles if there's crappies in there. So you know, if you pass over quietly, you're not going to spook them even in, you know, 10 to 20 feet of water. But if you're fishing shoreline stuff and that tree's hanging in 3, 4, 5, 6 feet of water, you won't be able to drive over it. So they got side imaging, and I've been using side imaging for years. And the new side imaging is like a photograph to the side. And I mentioned earlier that when you see a crappie on there, you can tell the difference between a crappie or a bass or a shad or anything else. You can see the shape. And you drive by slow, but the real trick is to set it at a short range because you get more detail. And so drive by real slow and put it on side imaging. And you don't need it shooting the other way. Just put it on one side, fill the whole screen with this beam that shoots only one way, and go, you know, 40 to 60 feet. You know, 40 feet's nice if you can get really close because it blows the fish up bigger, and you could see if they're there. But sometimes, even with all of our technology, you have to just drop it down and fish it. You could sometimes, if the water's not real murky, you could take an AquaView on a painter's pole. They make this little attachment, and you can put this AquaView camera. The painter pole, everybody knows what that is. You can elongate these poles to reach the ceiling. Well, you take this pole and you carefully drop it in, and it's kind of fun. It's like spy games, and you don't have to look from the boat. You could put the painter's pole right out there and look to see if they're in the branches. And you know, when they first came out, they were talking about that's unfair and it should be illegal. But you know, you can't hold the pole and hold another pole at the same time. You got
one or the other.
And it's fun. I always keep one in the boat. Kids love it, to look to see what's down there. And sometimes if you're anchored, you could put it so you look straight down at the bottom, and you can watch the fish swim by just like you would if you're sight fishing down a spear hole.
Right.
And you can watch them come up to your bait, and crappies and even walleyes when you're anchored. It's fun to watch them swim through naturally and not scared, but you don't put it down in their face. You keep it halfway up. If the water's clear, and if the water's murky, you can still see. You just got to get close to them.
Right. Unfortunately, bro, we've run out of time, man. I'm going to have you back on sometime, man. It's fun to talk with you.
I had a blast.
It's fun to talk with you, and you're a wealth of knowledge. Appreciate you taking the time to be with me this morning.
Well, I'm so glad to be here, and everybody, I just hope you can get out and fish and enjoy the natural resources. It's a nice distraction, and be safe on the water.
Very good. Well said. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.